to suppose God searched through heaven and couldn't find one willing to be. The supreme sacrifice that was needed, that could buy eternal life for you and me, had it not been for a place called the Calvary. Although he prayed, "Father, let it pass from me," and I'm so glad he never called to heaven's angels. Then forever my soul would be lost.
In the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 3, 2 Peter, chapter number 3, in verse number 13, says, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for the Word of God. And we ask You to make us an able minister of the Word of God this morning. Open up our hearts, our ears, that we might hear and receive the Word of God. And Father, that You just touch and work among us this morning, that we might receive that we stand in need of, I pray, and that we might be encouraged and helped in every place. In Jesus' name we ask, amen and amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought, and that is righteousness at home. Righteousness at home. Now, I'm not preaching today about righteousness in your home, although that is a good thing, but I want to preach about righteousness in its home. Righteousness in its home. Righteousness at home. I pray that it is an encouragement to the church, the redeemed of God this morning, and I petition anyone who's not saved to come to know the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus this morning. Amen. No better time, no better day. Now, when we define the word righteousness, according to the dictionary, it says purity of heart and life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness, as used in scripture and theology, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness. Comprehending holy principles and affections of the heart, and conformity of life to the divine law. Righteousness includes all that we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. Righteousness. Amen. That last line. It includes all that we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. Our text verse says, nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Amen. See, righteousness is a part of our world. We do not see it nearly enough of it in practice, but it is a part of our world, righteousness. Even we Christians, church folks, amen, the redeemed of God, at times we do unrighteous deeds, unrighteous things. And we are not all the time do we act in righteousness. And amen, this is to our shame. And when we do so, it is a hindrance to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let me say that there's nothing wrong with the gospel. The problem is not with the gospel, but the problem is with our own nature, our fallen nature. And so we see that this unrighteousness, amen, and sometimes it pops up, we're sailing along, everything's going fine, and something happens and boom, it pops up just like that, and we wonder where in the world that come from. Well, it comes from that old fallen nature. But you see, here's the thing about righteousness. Righteousness is not at home in this world. Righteousness is not at home in this world. The book of Ephesians says in Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 12, for we wrestle, we do, me and you, the church, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Has anybody had any wrestling matches this week? What are we wrestling against? We have an opponent, amen, and we wrestle. Sometimes we think that it's flesh and blood, that it's, you know, somebody. But I mean, the real problem is the principalities, the powers, and against the rulers of darkness of what? Of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Also, 1 John chapter number 5, 1 John 5 and 19 says, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Now then, does this sound like a place where righteousness is welcomed? A place where righteousness could just feel at home? It does not. Amen. We're wrestling against the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. 1 John 5:19 speaks of the whole world lieth in wickedness. Amen. That's not righteousness. That's not, amen, a place that righteousness can dwell and feel, amen, perfectly at home. Maybe you've heard these expressions. I've heard them all of my life. Said about somebody when something's going on, said that, you know, boy, he or she, they as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. Anybody ever heard that besides me? Amen. Long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. He don't know where to go. He can't get comfortable. Amen. I've heard somebody say, boy, they was squirming like a worm in a ain't bed. Amen. That's not a good place to be. Worm in a ain't bed's in trouble. Amen. Squirming. Not a comfortable position. And I say that to say this. In your lifetime, there's probably been times for different reasons that you've been in places where you were not very comfortable. Now, sometimes it might have been because you was in the wrong and you was around some folks that was in the right. Other times it might have been because you were in the right, maybe because you was God's youngin', and amen, and you found yourself in a place that you didn't want to be, and amen, you wasn't comfortable with what was going on and with the circumstances of things that was around, and amen, and you was squirming like that worm in an ant bed, or you was nervous like that long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. But amen, either way, the one thing's for sure, you were not comfortable. And God help us. Righteousness is not at home in this world, and righteousness is not comfortable, amen, dwelling with wickedness. Righteousness is exactly what this world needs, but righteousness is not what this world wants. The book of Matthew says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw Him, they besought Him that He would depart out of their coast. Amen. I believe this was in last week's Sunday school lesson. Jesus came and He cast out the evil spirits. And what did it say? Amen. The demonic had been delivered. He'd been healed. Had been, amen, something had been done that only Jesus could do. Nobody had. There wasn't a doctor in town. There wasn't anybody in town that could help this man. And Jesus passed by, and amen, His life was changed forever. And the whole city came out against what? Against Jesus. Against righteousness. What do they want Him to do? You need to leave. Won't you leave? Amen. Won't you leave? Go out of our coast. Now then, there's three things. I mean, that's just a little introduction. I'll give you some things here about righteousness in the present. And I want us to read in the book of Romans chapter 5 and verse 21. And let us take a look at righteousness in the present. In Romans chapter 5 and 21, it says, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Righteousness in the present. Sin has reigned unto death. Even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. There is no righteousness for us except through Jesus Christ. And at the present time, grace reigns through righteousness. Sin has its grip on this world, and death has passed upon all men, for all men have sinned. The Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, Jesus has come into this world to make it possible for us, for me and you, for humans with this old sin nature, He's come into this world to make it possible for us to know righteousness. Yeah. Well, to know the righteousness of God. Against our very nature, He has come into this world that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. J. Vernon McGee put it this way, talking about the nature of man. He said he came to teach turtles how to fly. I don't know if you know it or not, but that's not in a turtle's nature to fly. And see, it's not in our nature to be righteous, because our nature is a sin nature. But Jesus came that we could know the righteousness of God in Him. You see, Ephesians 2 and 3 says, among whom also we all. You know who that leaves out? Nobody. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what He says about me and you, about us all. But then in verse 4, it begins with these words. But God. But God. I'm glad a lot of times in my life, amen, that Chris did something, and amen, God showed up, and amen, but God, amen, He delivered. He helped. He gave victory where there seemingly was no victory. But amen, when we were disobedient, when we were children of wrath, even as others, God came, and all the demands of God's holiness have been met this morning by Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. In Him. Amen. He was made to be sin for us. He took our place. He became, amen, what He was not, so that we could become what we are not. Amen. The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so we know this morning about the righteousness of God through the person of Jesus Christ. We experience it in our lives to a measure. But one day, we're going to live in a place where the Bible says that righteousness dwells. Where righteousness dwells. We have here experienced it in that measure. See, 1 John chapter number 3 tells us in verse number 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. Right now, we're the sons of God. You know what that means? That means that, amen, we're righteous in Christ Jesus. If we're in Him, we're the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. You mean this is not all it is? This is not all it is. This is not it. Amen. Thank God every once in a while, amen, through this life we get a little bit of foretaste of what it's going to be. But amen, we're not finished yet. The songwriter said He's still working on me. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. One of these days we're going to be like Jesus. Not in a pure, we're not going to look. Everybody's not going to look the same in heaven. Amen. But we're going to be like Him. Amen. And that old sin nature is going to be departed. And amen, we're not going to live and struggle with the things that we struggle with now. Amen, it's not going to be that we're going to know righteousness in part, but we're going to know it in the full. We're not going to have just a measure, but amen, we're going to have righteousness. We're going to be living in a land and a place where righteousness dwells. Now the Bible also tells us the second thing. here, it gives us a look about righteousness in the millennial kingdom. In the book of Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 1, it says, "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." In the millennial kingdom, the Bible tells us that righteousness is going to reign. Not that everybody in the kingdom that, things are still going to be happening and going on for the 1,000 years time. And amen. And at the end of that 1,000 years, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 3, and then 7 through 10, Satan's going to be loose for a little time. Because there's going to be a rebellion. But God's going to quickly put it down. But righteousness is going to reign in that 1,000-year time. And this will be the condition of the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign of righteousness here upon the earth. In the earthly kingdom, Christ will rule with a rod of iron, and righteousness will be enforced by Him. Some folks say, well, boy, that sounds rough. That He's going to rule with a rod of iron. I don't know about you. I know what it's talking about when it speaks about rods and stuff and those kind of things. Amen. Because I've had it applied to my backside a time or two in my life. And, it set me on, a course and a direction. Sometimes I might not have wanted to really go on that. My heart might have not been in it. But my backside said it was worth it just to keep on going down this road, because it hurts not to go down that road. And so I went down that road. And this is in the millennial kingdom. It says that He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Let me ask you this. And listen, this is not real difficult when we look around and we see the situation of our country. And this ain't got anything to do with all the other countries around in the world. How many of you think if Jesus went up to Washington and said, "I'm taking over, y'all just step aside, I'm going to rule and I'm going to reign." How many of you think they'd just say, "We've been waiting for somebody like you to come"? No, they put Him to death the first time. They don't want Him the second time, but the second time, there ain't going to be no choice. Because the rule is going to be, He's going to rule with a rod of iron. Amen. It's going to be how He says, and He's going to rule in righteousness. Not that every man in the millennial kingdom, his heart is going to necessarily be right with God and the things that are taking place, but righteousness will reign in that millennial kingdom. Psalms chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, says, "Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling." But amen, they're not hearing that this morning. And they won't hear it even then, but amen, it won't change the fact that Jesus is coming and that righteousness is going to reign in the millennial kingdom. Sinfulness has not yet been exterminated in this millennial kingdom. But amen, when we read, and we won't turn and read there this morning for the sake of time, but in Revelation 20 and 3 and then in verse 7 through 10, if you'll read that, you'll see that Jesus, when Satan's loose for that little time, it's going to be short order and righteousness is going to win. And amen, all the rebellion of mankind, all the wickedness of mankind is going to be put down once and for all. And so here we in this kingdom that we live now, we see righteousness. It's here. God help us. We live by the grace of God. We live righteous lives. And we see that grace reigns through righteousness. And we obey God and we're righteous because of what Christ has done for us. In the millennial kingdom, we're going to see righteousness is going to reign. It's going to have to do it with a rod of iron, but it's going to reign. But amen, the last thing I want us to see this morning is I want you to see righteousness at home. Righteousness at home. And our text verse says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Righteousness here in this verse is said to dwell there. That word dwell means to house permanently. That is to reside. Righteousness is going to reside in eternity. In heaven, righteousness is at home. And he says we are waiting for that promise, looking for the new heavens, the new earth, wherein dwells righteousness. That place where righteousness is at home. Amen. It's not nervous anymore. Amen. It's not squirming. It's not looking about, but it's at home. Listen, we've probably all been to places, but I'm going to tell you, where are you any more comfortable than when you sat down at home in your house, in your chair, at your table, amen, in your bed, amen, in your full abode? There's no more comfortable place in the world for men and women. We may like to travel, but we like to be home. I'm thankful this morning that God in His righteousness has come by, and amen, we have in this old world that we live with all of its wickedness that's in the world, we still see the righteousness of God by the grace of God and through Christ Jesus. Amen. We see God's goodness and His mercy in our own lives, and we see the acts of kindness even amongst the evil and the wickedness of this world. But righteousness in this world is not at home, because men are still telling Jesus, "Won't you depart out of our coast?" But one of these days He's going to come with a rod of iron, and for 1,000 years Jesus is going to rule. But even at the end of that time, there's going to be those that rise up in rebellion that's going to be squashed. But there's coming a day and an hour when eternity, amen, breaks, and we look and we step on heaven's bright shore, that it's going to be a place where righteousness dwells. You're not going to have to worry about calling, amen, the security company to come put you some kind of security alarm on your property. You won't need any bars on the doors and the windows. Amen. You won't need to call the police. You won't need to worry about the youngins ain't home yet. You won't have to worry about getting a phone call at midnight, because in that hour, in that land, Peter said, we're looking. We're going to be in a place where righteousness dwells. It's at home. It's at home. Amen. There'll be peace. There'll be justice for everyone. In that land, home, righteousness, righteousness. When we get to eternity, righteousness, amen. If you can just picture it, it's going to just sit down. It's just going to smile, and it's going to say, I'm home. Amen. This is home. This is what it's like. This is what God intended. I'm home. This is what it was like, amen, when God intended for man to be. This is it. Righteousness will be at home. God help us this morning to be encouraged as the children of God. I'm thankful for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus that we have. I'm thankful for the time when Christ will rule. But I tell you what, what a day that's going to be when we step into eternity and we step into the place where righteousness dwells. If you turn to your right, if you turn to your left, it won't matter where you sit down. It's just going to be there. Righteousness. Peter said that's what we're looking for. We're waiting on that day, that time. Amen. I pray you can be encouraged. But amen, if you don't know the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus this morning, this would be a good time to come and to accept Christ. If you will, stand with us this morning. And as we sing, if you have a need this morning, I pray you come.